1 Corinthians 3. We've been going through this, and this is very important because I want everyone to understand some things. And understanding is, you know, it's the thing that we're trying to do. We need wisdom, and God will give you the wisdom, amen, to know that the Word of God is true. But it doesn't mean just because you know it's true, you understand it. Amen? So understanding comes from studying and looking. And that's what we're going to do this morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you look down with me in verse 10, it says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. Manifest means reveal. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, that means makes it through the fire, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Now, we're going to talk about this fire. We're going to talk about this time here, because it tells us in Romans 14:10 and 2 Corinthians 5:10 that we must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ Jesus. Why? That we all would receive the things done in this body. Why we lived on this earth, whether they be good or bad, that we would all receive the things that we deserve rewards-wise. Our deserving of going to hell was taken by Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Do you deserve hell or not? It's hard for some people. I think it's way easier for guys. I do. I think because guys know we're creeps, we're no good. Right? And anybody in here not know they're a creep? Come on, guys. Anybody? Zach, you're not a creep? I know. I'm totally joking. I was just busting on it because I knew you were on the right way. But every guy will say, yeah, man, I'm a creep. How do you know? Why do you think you're creepy? Well, I know we're creeps because my daughter, I don't want them near any man. I don't want my 13, 14, 15, 17, 18-year-old girl near these teenage boys because I used to be one. Can I get an amen? Amen? But women go, oh, no, they're good. That's a nice boy. There's no such thing. He's a good teenage boy. There's no such thing. And the girls getting themselves to think that I belong in hell, it's harder for women to believe that. Because women think everybody's kind of good, and they're good, and everybody's good, and no, we're all bad, we're all sinners, we're all wicked. And when you get to the realization, I don't deserve to be in heaven. And that's a hard place to get for some people. For other people, it's pretty easy. I don't deserve it. Amen, Joe? I know all I do. Are you kidding me? I don't even deserve it now, and I'm saved, and I'm a good boy. I still don't deserve it. You know what I mean? And it's because God is looking on the inward part, and he sees the envy. He sees the lusts. He sees the strife and the jealousy, and he sees the anger. He sees all that because that's who we really are. It's not the outward things we do. Are you going to tell me that just because someone can't speak that they're sinless? Or someone they don't have arms and legs, they're sinless? You know, oh, they can't go out and sin, so they must be sin. No! It's all about who you really are inside. And you know who's the please, ladies, bear with me. Do not get mad at me. I'm just saying, but you know who's like really the worst inside is the women. Because they're going all kinds of thoughts going on, man. They want to put daggers out in people. But they won't do it. Oh, bless your heart. God bless you. But inside, So we really have to look on the inside of the person. Amen? And that's what God's doing here. When we get to heaven, our bodies will be in the ground, so to speak. This body and everything we did is gone. You understand? Now we're going to have a glorified body. Before he gives us one, we're going to stand there and we're going to have to walk through the fires of judgment. What everything we did and everything we did for good, everything we did for God, everything we ever did that deserves a reward, he wants to give us. And everything that we did that we didn't even realize wasn't really right. See, the thing is, what we're talking about here is Christians. We're talking about God's people. We're talking about preachers, pastors, evangelists, missionaries, Sunday school teachers, mommies, you know, daddies. We're talking about everybody that did anything on the purpose of being good. Amen? Well, God's going to judge everything about that. And if you really did it for the right reasons, it gets through the fire. If you did it for any other reason than what's gold, silver, precious stone, it's going to be burned up. Because in heaven, everything's going to be perfect and pure. And the great thing about this is that you might say, well, then I'm not making it through. No, you are. You know why? Because you want to know what's perfect and pure? God's love. God's love is agape love. It is absolutely perfect. And when you receive Christ as a sinner, wicked person, you receive the love of Christ inside of your soul. And that's why even if you go to heaven and you've never done one thing for the right reason, you're going to be saved by fire because everything's going to be burned up but that love for Christ or love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. He comes in and he holds your soul and says, you belong to me. God comes in. He judges everything. Like, oh, my goodness, you have no rewards. You got nothing, but you got Jesus. Come on into heaven. He said, that's why it says saved yet so as by fire. I'm going to talk to you briefly as fast as I can, but because it says, because the day shall declare it. Now, it's a day of the Lord. It's a day of judgment. It's a day of rewards. It's supposed to be a great and happy day. Amen. But if we don't do what we're supposed to do now, it won't be such a happy day then. But he gives us instruction and he warns us about it. And what we need to do is just do what God told us to do. What is the number one commandment, Jesus said? What is it? Love. It's that simple. Real love. And you are able and capable of love because you have love of God in you. He came in, he gave you, he died for you, so all your sins are paid for. Now he came in and he put love in your heart. Come on, people. He put love in your heart. If you don't have love in your heart, the Bible says you're none of his. If you don't have love in your heart anymore, he changed us. He gave us something new, didn't he, Joe? Something I didn't have before. I got this love of God now, and now I want to know God, and I want to serve God. And as we work with God and have a relationship with God and we learn his word, we start to realize, I love him more, and I love him more, and I love him more. And when you love somebody, you do something for them. Amen? You don't say, I love you, and do nothing for them. You're a phony and a liar if you say, I love you. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. What are they? Love one another. What do you mean? Go tell somebody about Jesus. Help the poor. Be there for the sick. Be good. Be kind. Help people. Do things. So you're like, okay, you know what? I'm going to start doing things. And you start doing things. And at first, you might start out for the right reasons. And after doing them for a while, you're just doing them because you're supposed to. And you've lost the real purpose. Amen? And we do that in marriages. We do that in families. We do that in friendships. We do that in church. First coming to church. Pastor, this church is great. I'm learning so much. I'm growing. After 3-4 years, like, oh, I'm bored. Not really learning. You know what I mean? Well, you lose your fire, but the fire never goes out because the fire is real. It's love. And love, what God wants you to do is do everything that you do. And you do it for the love of God. We just went out yesterday. We went out door hanging, and Anton was here, and Brian was here, and Steve was here, and my wife and my family, and Raven was here, and the kids were here, and we went out, and I'm just saying, it was a beautiful day. So it was easy to go out and do it. But sometimes it's cold, and sometimes it's hot, and sometimes it's rainy, and sometimes it's not. My point is, you go out there and you're doing what you're supposed to do, but God sees the reason you're doing it. Now, just say you don't want to go. You're tired. You're achy. You're sore. Anybody have any of that? Thank you. But you do it anyway. Why? Sometimes you do it just because you feel like I have to. Sometimes you do it because you want the pastor or someone else to think that you're good. But sometimes you do it because you love God. And that's what God wants you to get. Whatever you do, the Bible says, whatsoever you do, do it as unto the Lord. And when you do it, it could be at home cleaning the house. It could be at home having patience with your children or grandchildren. You want to kill them, but you love them. Can someone say amen? That was for you. Or cleaning a toilet or cleaning a diaper or coming to church on a Sunday morning when you're really tired and had a rough week and you want to come to Sunday school and you don't feel like it. Your body doesn't want to, but your soul and spirit says, I'm going to do it. I want to do it for you, God. God sees that. And ting, ting, because you're doing it out of the right reason. Amen. And all the things that you've done and all the things that you do for your whole entire life in this body, God sees. And he has a record of it. You know why he sees? Because he's in you. He's in you. He sees why you do things. And I'll tell you right now, when you have a real friend, and like I said all the time, because this has happened to me, you get a phone call at 3 a.m, you're sleeping, you're tired. What? What do you want? Oh, man, I broke down the side of the road. Can you come out and pick me up? It's 3 a.m. It's raining. I know. I'm like, oh, all right. But you get up, you get your shoes on, you drive, and you pick the person up. Why? Because they're your friend. Right? Well, is Jesus your friend? What would you really do for him? Let's just get real. Isn't that what being a Christian is all about? Going above and beyond? Doing the things that you normally wouldn't have done ever? Like, I would have got out of it. There's no way. But something inside of me is making me do it. Look what Christ did for you. You think he wanted to? You think in that garden of Gethsemane, he wanted to become sin? Think he wanted to be beaten to its pulp? Think he wanted to be punched in the face? Think he wanted to be nailed? No, he just knew he was doing it for you. That's real love. And then, so now, God doesn't ask us to, he does ask us to carry our cross. Pick up your own cross. What does that mean? Your own responsibilities. I have mine, you have yours. Can I get an amen? God has laid on you some responsibilities that are just unique to you. When you have children, they're your responsibilities, not someone else's. Not everyone will agree with that. When you have children, they're your children. You had fun in making them. Now you're going to pay for it. Amen? And what it is you are responsible. You get up and change the diapers. You get up and take care of them. You get a job. You pay for them. And every man and woman has to do what they got to do to take care of their responsibilities. Amen. You got married. You made vows to a husband. You made vows to a wife. Your cross is to do what you're supposed to do. Doesn't mean you have to like it. But when you have Christ in your life, you do it for him. But she's mean to me. You do it for him. But my kids don't care about me, don't love me. Do it for him. And God sees all that. And then you stand before the Lord one day when it's all over. And you think you didn't do anything for God. You didn't go out preaching and you didn't go to the... You should. You should go to the prisons. You should go to the nursing homes, which were starting back up in a couple months, the nursing homes after COVID. It just wiped everything out. Go out and knock on some doors once in a while, hand someone a track once in a while. How about put some door hangers on doors that have the gospel track, but you don't even have to like talk to anybody and just go up and run. And run away. Like, doesn't take a lot of courage. You know, you can do it. And someone might get saved and go to heaven. And that's on your reward. You know what I'm saying? But you do it for why you do it. Because Christ died for me. He did it for me so I can at least do it for them. So you do what you can do. Amen? God doesn't expect you to do anything you can't do. He doesn't. Don't feel bad. Well, I'm sick. Well, God knows that. But you can pray. You can give. You can be an encouragement to someone. You can write a note. You know, I mean, there's things you can do. You don't have to go do what everyone else is doing. But my point is, all of us are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ one day. And we're all going to go through the fires. Amen? And the fire is going to try, test, burn up everything that's not pure. That means you could go to church all your life. You could read your Bible every day. You can go out soul winning every day. You could go to Bible college, become a pastor, be a preacher, win thousands of souls to the Lord, and stand before those fires and everything gets burned up because you did it for the wrong reason. You did it to get yourself glory. What do you think all these millionaire preachers out there, these Kenneth Copelands and these Benny Hinn's who've got and helicopters and airplanes, do you think they're going to make it through the fire? Not a chance. They got their rewards, if they're even saved at all. They got their rewards here on this earth. You understand what I'm saying? They get up, they're going to be poor as paupers because everything they do is for them. And that's the biggest, scariest thing is watch, don't do it for yourself. Do it for Jesus. In Revelation chapter 15, 2, I want to talk to you about something tonight. I want to talk to you about these stones of fire. I'm going to talk to you about the place where it is that you will be walking through. These stones, these fire that is going to try. Where's the fire come from? What is the fire? tell me about it. And God reveals to us a lot about it. And this is where you're going to be. When you stand there one day, and you stand there, bam, and you're there, you're like, oh, this is exactly what I thought it was. This is because you're going to know, because you're learning right now. In Revelation chapter 15, verse 2, it says, and I saw, as it were, a, say it, church, sea of glass. Underline that. This is where you're going to be standing on. You're going to be standing on a sea of glass. You're going to see that glass, it's not glass, it's crystal, clear as crystal. It's not crystal, it's not glass. You want to know what it is? It's some kind of ice. Because it's water that is, don't know how thick, all we know it's thick. We know it's impenetrable. We know that it's crystal clear, like I'm seeing you, even clearer. And we know that spirits can't get through it. Spirits cannot get through this penetrating, this unpenetrating sea of glass. And water is the key to it all. And water is the mystery of it all. You know, when they washing and regenerating. We know being baptized, buried with him, everything about the sea. And we know that Jesus cast out the 2,000 devils in the legion. They ran off into the sea. We know that when a devil, an unclean spirit, leaves a man, it says they go in dry places. They don't like water for some reason. There's all deeper things of that. That's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at this, verse 2. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. And that's the fire that's going to burn up and try you. Look what it says. And them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name at stand on the sea of glass having harps of God. These are the souls of us. I'm just saying us, people. It's really those who've gone through the tribulation. But it's also all the saints of God. Because everyone must stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And everyone's going to stand on this sea, which is the third heaven. And they're going to stand on it. It's going to be crystal clear. And only those who God allows in are able to pass through that crystal sea. And you're going to be able to walk on, but there's fire, and you're going to have to walk through the stones of fire to get to the throne of Christ. And those fires are going to try everything that you've ever done, every thought, every reason, every intent of your heart, everything you've ever done for God. It's going to burn up everything that is wood, everything that is hay, everything that is stubble. Everything you reason you did is going to burn it up. And everything that you did out of gold, out of silver, or out of precious stone is going to remain. And when you get to the finally at the end, everything that's left is your rewards. And that's your rewards forever and ever and ever. Amen. And God and me and you want to have the most rewards you could ever have. When you get through that fire, you want to have a pot of gold. Amen. You want to have jewels untold. You want to have crowns on your head. You want to have rewards in heaven. You say, I don't do it for the rewards. You better, because Jesus did. Jesus came to this earth and was found in the fashion of man. And being found, in, even though he's equal with man, he humbled him. Equal with God, he humbled himself. And being in the fashion of man, he became obedient to the Father. And he did whatever God said, even unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, because he did all that, God highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. And Jesus said, all power is given unto me. So Jesus was the perfect example. Amen. And he was perfect in his mind, perfect in his spirit, perfect in his body. He did everything perfectly. And when he was our example as he came, he sacrificed himself, did whatever the Father told him to do. And therefore, because of that, as our example, God gave him everything. So on Jesus is all the power, glory, honor, you name it. Everything God is, God gave it all to his Son. Now his Son sits supremely on the throne. And the thing is he now saves anyone who calls upon him. Someone say, thank you, Jesus. And he saves you, but then he comes in you, and now his spirit's in you. And he knows what you think. He knows what you know. And he tries to change us, conform us to his image, so that one day, it doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter what you've done, doesn't matter, all that's gone, it's dead. You understand? It's all new life. And from this moment on, you can earn more rewards than you ever could think possible. Look in Revelation chapter 4 with me, please. Revelation 4. In verse 6, Revelation 4, verse 6 says, and before the throne, there was a, see it? Sea of glass, underline it, like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were four beasts full of eyes before and behind. This throne, where we're going to stand, is on this sea of glass. Now, where does this all come from? This sea of glass is depicted by the Bible and told us that God showed Moses a picture of everything in heaven. And he told Moses, now make it according to the patterns which I showed you. Turn with me, if you would, please, to 1 Kings chapter 7. Let me know when you're there. 1 Kings 7, verse 23. It says, and he made a molten sea, 10 cubits from the one brim to the other. And it was round all about. And his height was 5 cubits. And a line of 30 cubits did compass it round about. Here, what he when he made the picture, he's made, God told him, and he made the Ark of the Covenant, and he made the candlestick. He made the tools, everything. God showed him a picture of the real thing. And then he makes this giant sea that is before the throne, where the priests had to go into that sea and clean themselves and wash themselves before they can come to God. They'd go in there and so kind of bathe. And that's what we're doing. We get there. The fires are bathing us, cleaning us from anything that would be impure. Because nothing can stand before the presence of God and not be judged. Do you listen to me? Nothing can stand before the judge of all the universe and not be judged. So God has a way for everything to be judged out. So by the time you stand before him, he's all happy. By the time you stand before him, there's not going to be any, can't believe you did that. None of that. It's just whatever you got to be rewarded for, he's going to be like, well done. Thou good, well, I see you were kind of faithful. You don't have much rewards there, but praise God. You know, I'm glad you got yourself a little hunk of gold there. That's good. Amen. See, I'll see you in heaven. And then other people are going to come down. He's like, well, glory, glory to me. He's going to, you know, like saying, you look well done, thou good and faithful servant. Look at all the riches you have. Well done. Very good. And all the angels and all the people are going to be, you know, like, wow, because you were faithful on earth. And then he says, now enter into the promised land. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You're going to be ruler. You were ruler and you kept faithful to little things. I'm going to make you ruler over great things. You're going to rule with me in heaven and then on earth. And it's like, that's the whole reason why we're here. And this is what's going to happen. So he made this giant sea to represent this glass. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Job chapter 1. Book of Job gives us great insight to all of this. And this is questions that people have. They didn't quite understand. And I hope and pray this will help you out some. So I hear questions like on the internet or on Facebook, and people ask stupid questions. I shouldn't say stupid. There's no such thing as a stupid question. Real questions are great. It tells us in Job chapter 1, verse 6, says, now there was a day when the sons of God, they are angels, came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them. Now here we have Satan coming before the Lord. Here we have the devil himself coming to talk to God. Now how can the devil get into the throne room of God? How can Lucifer, the evil angel, he doesn't. He is on the other side of that sea of glass. Because it's so crystal, he can see, and God can see. Because the devil, the Bible tells us that he is the prince of the power of the air. He is able to leave the earth. The devil has, one, never been in hell. Never been in hell. The stories that the devil's in hell, no, the devil's on earth. Hell is where he's going once God judges him. He has never been in hell. He walks and roams the earth. And he can go to the presence of God. There's three heavens. The first heaven is the sky where the birds and the airplanes fly. The second heaven is outer space. And the third heaven is where God lives, where this throne is, where we're going to stand on the sea of glass. And it's so crystal clear you can't tell that there's anything there. but the devils cannot go. So he presents himself. Look what it says, verse 7. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou, Lord? Where are you coming from, Satan? And he answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and up and walking up and down in it. Now here we know that the devil walks all around the earth. He can't be multiple places at one time. One place, one time. That's why probably no one here has ever met the devil. We probably have never met him. You don't know him. He doesn't know you, thank God. Or he does know you, but only through his cohorts, through demons or devils, the Bible calls them. Amen. That they are his angels, so to speak, that go out and do his bidding, and they report back to him. And then he goes and he reports to God. And the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 12 that he accuses the saints of God every time he gets his devils to tempt you and to get you to do something that you shouldn't do. He gets you to do it. Amen. And then he goes to God and blames you. Ha ha. Look what he did. He's a creep. He's a scumbag. He's no good at all. And he does it for one reason, so that he can have authority by God to mess you up. Just like Job, God said to Job, have you seen my servant? And he said, yeah. He said, there's no one like him. He's awesome. He hates evil. He says, yeah, but the only reason he does it is because you've got a hedge around him. And the only reason he does it is because you bless him. And so God makes a deal with Job, says, okay, you can take away all that he has. And all that he blessings, and we'll see what happens. And Job does, and you can read it for yourself. And Job still doesn't curse God and blesses God. And God allowed all that to happen to Job so that we can learn. I want you to turn with me to Jeremiah 52. In Jeremiah 52, verse 17, it tells us again about this brazen sea that was before the altar, before the mercy seat. It says, also the pillars of brass that were in the house of the Lord, and the bases, and the brazen sea that was in the house of the Lord, the Chaldeans break. They broke it up and they carried all the brass of them to Babylon. When the evil Babylonians came in, they stole all this really cool stuff that was made. And no one has seen it again, but it gives us description. This sea of glass is before the throne of God, and that's where we're going to stand. And it was also, there was a brazen sea before the mercy seat. The Jewish people saw it, so they understood that it was a picture. It was what Moses saw. In Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, it says that God is going to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, it tells us in chapter 4, verse 5, it says, therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the what? Of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God. You see, this is a very fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. For our God is an all-consuming fire. When we do die, and we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Each and every one of us. And you remember this, that you will stand there. I'll stand there. Everyone that's ever lived will stand there. That's a Christian that is saved. Amen. Those that aren't saved will never stand here. They will go right to hell. And then at the very end of the millennium, all the people will be resurrected. And they're going to stand before the great white throne of judgment. They will have no rewards. They will be shown everything they've done, and they're going to be cast in the lake of fire with the devil. But those that have received Christ, those that have got God, will all stand. Why? Because God wants us to be real. He wants everything that we've always ever done to be known. Everything you've ever done out of love is going to be known. Everything you've ever done, gold is love. It's pure love of God. And I want you to look with me, if you would, in Genesis chapter 1. Verse 6 and 7, then we're going to Psalm 148. In Genesis chapter 1, it says, and God said, let there be firmament in the midst of the waters. That means in the middle of the waters. and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made a firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. There's three heavens. The heaven of the sky, where the water was separated. Then the heavens of outer space. And then the third heaven, where Apostle Paul was taken up and told us that he went to the third heaven. And that's where he stood on the sea of glass. Do you understand that? And that's where all of us are going to stand in the presence of God himself. I want you to look with me in Psalm 148. Look at Psalm 148. And I'm going to say something because I hate that clock. Forgive me if I just talk too much. Forgive me. Because there's just so much to learn. In Psalm 148, look in verse 4. It says, praise him, all ye heavens. Praise him, all ye heavens of heavens. And ye waters that be above the heavens. Reason that's so important, because when God, in the beginning, the whole earth was full of water. The earth was void and without form. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God spoke, amen, the word of God. And he separated the waters from the waters. And he made a firmament, a space, sky in between. And he didn't just stop there. And this is what I want you to see and learn, is that before the flood, the earth was different. Before the flood, everything was different. Amen. Before the flood, people lived to be 900 and some years old. Before the flood, every creature and every animal lived to be 900 and some years old. Every animal, every reptile, you name it, never stops growing. They got huge. Amen. People were bigger. Everything was bigger. Tree life was bigger. Plant life was bigger. But when God created the heaven, he needed an atmosphere. Amen. And the way he made an atmosphere is he separated the waters from the waters on the earth, and he made the waters stand around the earth, and that made a dome of ice around the earth. How thick, no one knows, but it's kept the earth in a perpetual for almost 1,000 years, whatever, greenhouse. And that greenhouse kept the ultraviolet rays of the sun from penetrating to the earth. And all the gases of the earth and they were coming up made the atmosphere the way it is today. And when God said that he was told Noah that he was going to destroy the earth, it tells you how he did it. He says the heavens were broken up. And all that ice came in and all broke up into a deluge of water upon the earth that has never been seen before. And then all the water that was under the earth came up from the ground. And scientists today, I love these things when they're just catching up with the Bible. Scientists said there's more water under the earth, three times more water under the earth than there is on top of the earth. All the oceans, three times more. So anyway, all that water came up, all the water from the heavens came down, and then it rained 40 days and 40 nights. And it flooded out the absolute entire everything on earth. Changed the geology of everything. And that's why when they check things and they say, oh, it's 6 billion years old, they're fools. All right? Because, and this is just true, because if any scientist doctor today went back in the Garden of Eden and saw a mountain, they'd say that mountain's 65 million years old. And God's like, I just made it yesterday. Well, that man there, I checked him out. He's 30 years old. I just made him. He's only an hour old. See, God makes everything with apparent age. Just to fool the people that think they're smart. Amen. So anyway, when he made a tree, when he made an animal, people go, oh, that animal had to become this and become. God said, no, I just made it just now. So my point to all that is when the atmosphere, the heavens, the first heaven, that once that water was gone, now there's still waters, according to this verse, above the heavens. And that's how God made the crystal sea. He took the heavens and he made a sea before him that shut off the second heaven from the third heaven. And now that's what stops every evil or any spirit. And that's called the third heaven where God lives. And we're going to be taken into that third heaven. We're going to stand before the Lord on the stones of fire. Turn with me, if you would, please, to Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5 says this, who serve as an example and a shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle. For he said, see, saith he, that you make all things according to the pattern showed thee in the mount. That's why there was that brass sea before the thing, because there's a sea of glass that we will all stand on. In Ezekiel chapter 28, and then I'm going to finish with one more verse after that. Ezekiel 28, then Isaiah 14. In Ezekiel 28, we have about the devil, who was not the devil then. He was a most beautiful angel that ever created, probably the first of all God's creation of angels. And his name was Lucifer, the light bearer. He covered God. He was an anointed cherub angel. I think he was unique and different from all the other angels. And he was made for a purpose. He was called the anointed cherub. So he was like the Christ cherub. He was the cherub that ruled for God. It spoke for God, music for God, had light for God, did everything for God. Look what it says in chapter 28. It says in verse 14, it says, thou, talking about Lucifer, the devil, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. And I have set thee so. God made him that way. Thou was upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. That's the stones of fire that we're going to walk up and down in. That everything is going to be judged. Whatever thoughts in the intents of our heart, whatever thing we've ever done for the Lord. And if you've done it for the wrong reason, if you did it for yourself, if you did it to make people think you're good, if you did it for whatever reason, listen, when I was Catholic and I'd go to church, I remember going to church, looking at my watch, okay, 45 minutes, they were always 45 minutes. I appreciated that because I couldn't wait to get out. And I remember walking down the steps of church, of Catholic church, and going, okay, Lord, you owe me now. I went to church. I really believed that, like, okay, I did what I'm supposed to do. You know what I mean? Like, I did what I'm supposed to do. Now you do what you're supposed to do. And I just had that feeling. And what it is I don't care if it was right or wrong thing to do. Whatever you do, if you have the wrong feeling, the wrong attitude, the reason you do it, God sees that. And it's going to burn up. You're not going to get no rewards for that. You're not going to get rewards for coming. Well, I came to church. I had to listen to that big mouth Pastor Mike for, man, he's an hour and a half. Amen. Hey, watch it. And you're like, and God sees it. And I got to sit on these uncomfortable seats. It's killing my back and my rear end. Like, ah. And thing is, God sees it all. But if you do it because of God, Lord, I don't want to be here. I'd rather be up. But for you, I'm coming. I don't want to be sitting on these things for an hour and a half, but for you, I'm doing it. I'm just telling you the truth. God sees it, and you get rewards for it. Because you do it, why are you doing it? Doing it out of love. It tells us here in verse 15 of chapter 28, she's not the devil at this time, he's an angel. Thou was perfect in all thy ways, from the day that thou was created until iniquity was found in you. And it tells you why. It says, in verse 16, by the multitude of your merchandise, you had so much, he said, that you were filled in the midst of thee with violence. You had sinned. Therefore, I will cast thee profanely out of the mountain of God, and I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. That's what happened. Was every day he walked up and down those stones of fire, Lucifer did, and there wasn't nothing in him that was ever offensive. Nothing. He was perfect and pure. And all of a sudden, one day, something changed. One day, something changed in his mind, in his heart. And what is found in Isaiah, and I got to go. Look in Isaiah chapter 14, and you'll see what changed. Let me know when you're there in Isaiah 14. Let me know when you're there. I hear four or five of you. I'll wait. Last verse, we're done. Let me know when you all get there. Please say amen when you're getting there. Getting there, it's good. Isaiah 14, verse 12. Bible says, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? This is what happened to him. For thou hast said in your, where? In his heart. He didn't even say it out loud. He didn't even condemn people. He didn't say anything to God. But in his heart, he said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. That's angels. I will sit upon the amount of the congregation on the sides of the north. I will ascend into the heights of the clouds. My point to that is I will. Whenever you do anything for you, That is iniquity. And God cannot allow. So he's in the midst of the stones of fire and everything is going. He's perfect. Like nothing ever even, there's nothing even to burn up. There's nothing to judge. You know what I'm saying? And all of a sudden one day, because of, and we're out of time, because of what God said he was going to do with man. And because of what God said angels were created for. Imagine being an angel and you just all of a sudden, you appear, you just wake up. You had no beginning. I mean, this was your beginning. You had no history. You didn't grow up like we did. All of a sudden, you are, and you're the way you are. And God made you that way, right? And all of a sudden, you're like, man, you know, wow, look at this, and God, and all this. All of a sudden, God says, I made you this way for one reason. What is it? Tell me what it is. I want you to serve man. Then? Those horrible, terrible people that do nothing but evil? You want me to serve them? Yes. And that's when the devil said, not me. I'm too good for that. Me? Yeah, you get the peons to do it, not me. I'm the anointed cherub that covers. You understand what I'm saying? Pride. And as soon as you think, that's too good for me, I'm going to do that, that's when you start to be like the devil. Let's pray. Father, I love you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for the Word of God, which teaches us everything. Thank you for the Holy Spirit of God that reveals to us truth and teaches us everything. Thank you for the blood of Jesus that is on the mercy seat that forgives us from everything. Thank you for the church and the bride of the body of Christ. Thank you for everything you give us, Lord. We love you. Please be with us now. Be with this church, this ministry of yours. Be with your saints of God and bring us together and help us to come in one mind and one accord, to have unity, to know that it is we are doing your will. God, help us, teach us, protect us, bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Church of